The rain is pouring down as Trina Thompson walks towards the sound of rushing water to find out what's going on. And what she sees scares her. It's a massive torrent of mud and rocks and trees rushing right across the highway.
There's a log across now. There's still cars stuck over there. There's a mudslide.
So she takes out her phone and she starts taking video to show her friends and other people in the community exactly what's happening.
I'm right beside our sign and...
By the next morning, the rains have calmed down and the extent of the damage can clearly be seen.
This is 6:40 a.m. This is the mudslide on Highway 99, Retasket Road.
A massive pile of mud and rocks span the road, and huge gullies are carved on either side of the road. Where a grove of trees stood the day before, it's now a field full of rocks and dirt.
This is the extent of what happened last night, and everything is good, we're safe, but this is a lot of craziness. I've never seen anything like this. It's 7:45 a.m. Cleanup has started.
But meanwhile, cars are still blocked by a second mudslide. It's just a half kilometer down the road.
It looks like they got all of the dirt and piles. He's over there taking care of another mudslide that happened yesterday as well. There are still cars stranded in between.
So the day goes on and the heavy rain returns. Then the crews also come and they're setting up the ropes and they're helping to guide people across what is now a rushing flow of muddy water. People who got stuck, trapped by these mudslides.
They're just trying to get people across right now. This is crazy. It's just not letting up at our house or anything. We got a couple people through, but there's 18 people stuck. And this is what we're standing in right now.
Now, eventually everybody is evacuated, but the saga is not over. Later that evening, another slide comes crashing down, and it's even more frightening than the first. Trina and her father, Norman, are never going to forget it.
It was dark, and that's all you could hear is rocks rolling and trees breaking. You could hear water flowing. You could hear water shooting out of our culverts again, like under the highway.
You know, the ground was just shaking like if there was a freight train coming at you. You could hear the rocks rolling from way up there and crashing through the trees. And you don't know how big the rock is. You don't know where it's going to stop. You don't know what's coming at you.
And just like the fear of not seeing everything happen, just being able to hear it or whatever was the scariest part, and not knowing where it was or what was happening.
It affected us. Nobody sleeps when it's raining, you know.
The mudslides are a direct result of wildfires, which killed the plants and the root systems that hold all that soil in place.
So there's nothing to hold the water. This was just the first one. Every time it rains or storms, this is going to happen again. If we get record amounts of snowfall, this is going to happen several times in the spring when it starts to thaw. The threat is going to be here for years until we could get vegetation growing again in the mountains. There's nothing to hold the water back.
It's a pretty scary prospect given that the family's three houses are sitting in a valley surrounded by these hills. Walking around his property, the power of the slide and the flooding, it's on display everywhere you look.
Our bridge is gone, totally gone. The road is still there, but there's no bridge.
And is there flooding at all?
Yes, you'll see it. We're going to take you down there now. Okay. It's like this has changed so much. I wouldn't recognize it if I hadn't walked out here a few times. where that dark post is, that's where the fence crosses the road and goes up to the other side over there. But this wasn't here. It's maybe 10 or 15 feet deep. Yeah, 15 right here, I think.
The torrents of these last 2 days have literally changed the topography of Norman's land, leaving a mound of soil spilling across the terrain. And the loss of his boundary fence, which is essential for keeping livestock, it's particularly painful.
Like all the fencing that was done, every post was carried up there one at a time. Some of them are railway ties climbing the hill. I carry them up the hill, dig a hole, plant the post, come down, grab another railway tie and walk up that hill. Around the whole property. When you're looking straight down the fence that's just below the road here, some of the post holes took me one day to dig. One whole day, because it was built on the old roadbed that we walked up, and it's impossible to dig a hole in it.
But it's not the bridges or the fence that Norman worries about most. The mudslides claimed at least one life. A couple stopped at the side of the road to admire the scenery. They were swept away inside their vehicle. Only one person survived. And memories of the 2017 fires, which came really close, just a few hundred meters from his home, they're also seared into Norman's mind.
You could feel the heat, right? Because all these trees were burning. And you could hear the trees screaming because you could. All the moisture going out of it, I guess, and the pitch burning.
And now Norman, he also spends a lot of his time preparing for the next fire.
Maybe I'm weird about fires, but my creator gave me all these assets that I could do something about it. I could sit back and let it burn. Then my kids wouldn't have nothing.
And he's really done a lot to prepare. He's built a berm, he's dug channels to redirect water that might come from further mudslides and floods. He's built a separate building to house all the equipment he's purchased. That includes things like pumps and sprinklers and generators and fire hoses. And he also keeps some of those pumps and fire hoses down near the creek, ready to be used at a moment's notice. And around the well, he's piled up sandbags.
I put this building up, or this lean-to, just to house the firefighting stuff. And I'm going to spend $1,000 to put a metal roof on like that. And another $1,000 to cover this one here.
Now, Norman also makes and sells traditional drums, and he teaches drum making at a local college, so he does have some income to make up for the lost revenue from his land. When they were evacuated during the fires, though, even the drum making had to stop, and that's when the Canadian Red Cross stepped in with a grant for small businesses that had been affected by the wildfires. In the meantime, Norman and Trina say that they intend to stay ready for anything.
Our freezer's full. Our fridge is full, over full, because if we get evacuated, we don't want to miss anything. We have gas put aside for generators. We have our firefighting stuff ready to go. It's like we're almost ready for anything. And in a way, it's good, but emotionally, it's not good. You know, that you even have to think about this kind of stuff.
Or fill the bathtub with water or yeah. Something every time it rains in case we lose power or whatever, right? So it's just mentally, it's draining, I guess.
But Norman does have his drum making. It's a pastime he enjoys. It keeps him connected with his traditional way of life, and it helps keep his stress levels in check.
Selected piece of elk hide. I chose this one because it's going to be
good looking drone because of the characteristics.
For Red Cross Red Crescent Magazine, I'm Kathy Mueller in Bonaparte, British Columbia. There are